Good Monday morning and welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. On Mondays, we talk about wonder at the University of Arizona, where we celebrate the good things going on at the U of A. And this is a special week for us because it is homecoming. And this weekend, there will be all week long. There's a number of different things going on all across the university and different colleges and departments. And of course, there's the big homecoming football game on Saturday. And so there'll be a lot of things happening. Our guest this morning is Misha Harrison. She's the executive director of experience for presidential events at in university ceremonies. So good morning to you, Misha.
Morning, Ed.
I'm doing great. You've got a lot on your plate. This week is a busy week for everybody in the president's office. We have a new president, Dr. Garamella. He's going to oversee his first homecoming. And so he has been one busy, 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 busy guy. And it's great to see him. We saw him at the football game a week or so ago. But he's going to be all over campus this week. So before we get started talking a little bit about what's coming up, especially the Desert Genius Project, let's talk a little bit about Misha Harrison. If you could just tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got to the University of Arizona and what you do there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I started out in Indiana, actually, and got my undergrad at Indiana University in biology and French and did a year abroad and got the bug for the French culture and stayed and sang in a band and decided to travel all around Europe and southern France and southern Europe and stayed in a band. And was a bit bohemian for a while before I came back to the States and came out west once I landed back. My sister was going to school here at the University of Arizona. I came to see her, fell in love with the campus, but I still spent another year in California after that, still singing in a band, having a great time. And then I came back and decided to study design because, you know, it turns out I'd always been an artist, knew I was going to be on that track. And came back, got a degree in design, and started working for the university a long time ago, almost 23 years ago now. And, you know, worked out as creative director long ago in student affairs, and then was creative director for the university in marketing communications. And, you know, the really fun part of that, the thing that I really wanted to see happen was to combine the live events and the creativity. And so it just made a lot of sense. I kind of created this position and the hope of discipline for experience design here on campus. So I am one of two in a small shop that consults all around campus to bring some really exciting events and then to kind of upgrade all the events that we have and really think about the, you know, the audience's journey and really try to do some, I don't know, unexpected things, some exciting things. Like, we love to work with Arizona Arts and they're helping us out for Desert Genius. And again, they are all about the unexpected. So
yeah, we just had Chad on Jump in Tucson not too long ago. Chad Herzog, the vice president in charge of Arizona Arts Live. And it was great to have him kind of describe bringing the arts to the people and bringing the arts out. And that's kind of what you're doing with the presidential events that you're doing. You're engaging people in the place that they are.
Absolutely. And what we're trying to do is bring the quality of thought that we have on this campus to the people as well, because there's this tremendous misconception of higher ed right now that we live in ivory towers. You know about this, and that we're inaccessible. And so my job is to make faculty, to make research, to make the higher levels of education, the PhD work, more accessible to all of the population. And that's where TEDx comes in. We took the university to South By, same thing. We're working on basically showing how approachable and exciting the work is that's happening on campus from every college. And that's the part that's really fun about being in the middle of the university, is I truly get to meet people from every single college, almost every discipline. And then we have a lot of fun kind of picking and choosing this soup of how we're going to put things together to make a really exciting event for people.
And speaking of an exciting event, we're speaking with Misha Harrison, who's the executive director of experience, presidential events and university ceremonies at the University of Arizona. This is homecoming week. Lots of great things going on all across campus this week. But you've got a great event coming up called Desert Genius. Can you tell us just in broad strokes what it is? And when we come back after the break, we'll talk more about in depth, but just what is Desert Genius and what have you got on store for us?
Oh, sure. Well, it is a TEDx model event. So it's TEDx U of A, and it's a combination of the TED model, so short, to the point, storytelling focused lectures that are no more than 12 minutes. And we have boom, 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 six in a row. And then we'll have a performance and then a bit of an intermission and then another six in a row. And so you're going to get a little sampling from all across campus of some of the extraordinary faculty that we have and some of the really great speakers, plus some really great guitar and some really fun dancing. So there's a bit of magic in the air. We've tied it together with storytelling. We're going to talk a lot about the stars. But when we say desert genius, I mean, we really think that this place is inspiring. And so you're going to hear a lot about what does it mean to be here in Tucson and why is that so exciting and what do we bring to the rest of the world? I'm really looking forward to it.
This ties in well with the theme of this today's show. We always do wonder on Monday. We just had President Robbins wrapping up his tenure at the U of A, coming in and doing a retrospective of his life, but talking about how under his leadership, what the different colleges and departments were able to do with the around the world and around the community. And this this Desert Genius is kind of a similar thing where we're able to showcase, if you will, the different things that are happening in research and exciting developments for mankind and things that just are kind of really cool to see. They spark that wonder that we talk about. And so it'll be great to have people be able to be exposed to some of these scholarly thinkers and these people that are representing the University of Arizona all across campus. So it's called Desert Genius. It's a TEDx event, and it'll be, what day will it be held on?
Oh, it's this Friday.
Friday,
coming right
okay.
up in the afternoon.
Okay. And so when we come back after the break, I'd like to kind of go into the different the different speakers that will be there. I have a couple favorites myself I'd like to chat about and tell you my story about them. They are amazing. Just to have a chance to see one or two of them would be well worth the time and effort to get down to the University of Arizona. We're talking with Misha Harrison, the Executive Director of Experience of Presidential Events and University Ceremonies at the University of Arizona. This is the Wonder Series on Jump in Tucson. We'll come back after the break and talk with her about what is to be expected at Desert Genius, the TEDx Arizona event that's happening as part of the homecoming festivities at the University of Arizona this week. We're looking forward to some exciting activities. We're also looking forward to an exciting game against Colorado, and where we're going to defeat the Colorado Buffaloes and bring showtime to the end, right here in Tucson, Arizona, where the Wildcats are win. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. We'll be back right after the break. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley, proud to be an alumnus of the University of Arizona. This week is homecoming week for so many alumni and family, and of course the students are excited. We got a big football game coming up. We got a million events going on campus today, starting today, Monday, and going through the end of the week, the weekend, and of course, highlighted by the University of Arizona football game, where there's going to be huge tailgate parties. All of the colleges will have their tents out on the mall, and so families and the community can interact with many of the colleges and representatives, and then go to the game. But we also have a really cool event on Friday. It is called Desert Genius, a TEDx Arizona event, and the person in charge of that and many of these other things is Misha Harrison. She is the Executive Director of Experience, Presidential Events and University Ceremonies at the University of Arizona. So Misha, we got a pretty exciting Friday lined up for us here with the Desert Genius event. Can you tell us a little bit about what will be happening that day?
Well, we're going to hear from about 10 speakers. So we have everyone from Michael Kotutua Johnson, who is a 325th generation Hopi farmer, telling us how to farm with the environment we have now. We've got Ladd Keith talking about heat corridors and how we're going to manage that together. We've got one of your favorites, Chris Impey, you know, the astronomer, who is going to show us what life's going to be like when we can all live off planet. I'm really looking forward to that one. And then, Shad Marvasti is an MD and he teaches up at the College of Medicine Phoenix, but he is also an alum of Andrew Weil and the Center for Integrative Medicine. And he is going to talk to us about how food is medicine and how we can get healthy as a society with a few tweaks. So I'm excited for his. Amy Oliver works over at the Mount Lemmon's Sky Nights and the Sky Sciences. And she's going to be talking about light pollution and how we can change our actions with just minor little things, and actually the fact that if we do that, we're going to see a lot more bioluminescence come up, meaning there are fireflies in Arizona. No one believes it, but she's got proof, and I'm super excited because I'm a Midwesterner and I would love to see fireflies. She's like, well, you can, but you gotta have to turn off the lights. A couple of other ones that are really fun. Sarah Kortmeyer is the librarian at the Poetry Center, and she is going to be talking about the VOCA project, and not only that they have captioned it, but that it has done an incredible job. We're all going to get to hear readings from the poets and see what that looks like on screen, and just sort of see the difference that that makes. And then you all know the going from one set of poetry to the next. As you go down Speedway, you see the murals now that make Speedway more beautiful. So we're going to talk to Jody Lures-Tertudi, who is one of the artists that did those murals. And those murals are all based on poems from the Poetry Center. So it's a really broad swath. There are more. And of course, we just announced Desiree Reed-Francois, who is our athletics director. And I am just thrilled to see her talk. What's going to be wonderful about what she has to say is we're going to get inside the special sauce, if you would. She's going to give us an insight into what makes her so passionate about student athletes, protecting them, making sure they have an extraordinary experience, and what drives her as a leader. I'm really looking forward to her. We're going to end the day with her, by the way.
Great. Our guest is Misha Harrison. She is helping coordinate the Desert Genius TEDx Arizona event. A couple of these speakers have been here on Jump in Tucson, the Wonder Series. Of particular note, Jenkin Thango was here. He was talking about the wonderful science of Mars and Moon, and have robots building little. I guess they're made out of moon dust, I guess is what they were, kind of a sandback, robots building these little homes on the moon. It was a fascinating story, and I actually went to a presentation that he did afterwards, which was also amazing. And of course, Ladd Keith has been here. Ladd is, not only is he a great scientist and doing great with climate change and resources of cement and how the temperature of our cities is changing and so forth. Ladd's dad grew up two houses down from my brother Bill and I, who Bill's in the studio with me here. And then, of course, Chris Impey. Amazing. If you haven't heard Chris speak, he is a distinguished professor in astronomy, but he is a distinguished professor around the world. He has in high demand. Of course, the University of Arizona Astronomy Department is world-renowned, and we've the astronomy and astrology people, astrology, astrobiology teams and so forth, who have been working on every NASA mission since NASA's inception. And Chris is a great inspirational speaker. I had him come in and do what I called Creative Bash, where he helped our Eller students hear about the creative things going on in the sky. And he's an incredible, incredible speaker. So you have a fantastic lineup here on Friday. So, but you also have a couple of performers. Tell us a little bit about the performers that will also be performing at Desert Genius.
Well, we do. We have the Black and Blue Hip Hop Crew, which is an undergraduate group. So it's all students, and they are dancers, and they dance to contemporary songs that you'd recognize. But what's great about them is these are all students who danced either semi-professionally or with clubs in high school, and chose not to do that as careers. So they are engineers, they're pre-med students, they're psychology students, and they all come together to do this crew. So they're opening up the second act. And then I'm also really excited to have Brian Lopez. And if you know anything about CICSA, Brian has been on the music scene in Tucson for decades, and we're really thrilled to have him. He's got some of his solo career. He's just coming back from touring in Europe, and we're really excited to get some of his new music. And then he's going to tell us a little bit about his inspiration. So we'll see him towards the end of the first act. I'm really excited. It's, cumbia in style, but it's very much singer-songwriter and gentle and more close to his heart. It's a new style I think you'll like.
That's fantastic. Again, there's 6 degrees of separation in all of these. Well, my student who's running my Marketing 425 Applied Advertising student project is one of the leaders of the Black and Blue Hip Hop crew. So she's excited about performing for Homecoming. And then Brian Lopez is a singer-songwriter. His uncle is one of our good friends, and Brian's a fantastic, very, very creative and inspirational performer. Well, we have Desert Genius, part of TEDx Arizona, part of Homecoming 2024. How do people come to TEDx? Where do they go to get their $5 tickets, and how do they get engaged in the process?
Yeah, absolutely. So to come to the event, it's at 2:00 at Centennial Hall this Friday. So you can just show up at the box office. I recommend you come a little early. Doors open at 1:30, but you can get the tickets online through Ticketmaster. We have a link on our page that is tedx.arizona.edu. And right up top, there's a red button that says Get Your Tickets, and that'll take you straight to Ticketmaster. And it's just $5 for the tickets. And it truly is just defraying our box office costs. We're making it as close to free as we can because we really want to have the whole community come. And if you can't make it to the first half, come for the second half. And we've sandwiched it in between a bunch of other homecoming activities. And so right afterwards, you'll have the opportunity to head out onto the mall and go see the bonfire in the evening, maybe catch a bite to eat afterwards. So again, doors open at 1:30, Centennial Hall, and tickets are online at tedx.arizona.edu.
And what website can they go to kind of see the lineup of the speakers and what's happening? Where do they go to get that information?
That's at the same spot, Ed. That is tedx.arizona.edu. And you know what the great part about that too is, sure, you can get your tickets there. We hope you come. But we are making this an annual event, and we are really looking forward to new speakers. We had over 200 to select from this year, applicants alone, plus a few that we really wanted to get out on the stage. We start looking at applications for speakers in March for the following year. So if you think you've got a talk in you, go ahead and send that application in now, and the curating team will be thrilled to start looking at it over the summer. And then we make our offers to our speakers in July and August, and we really start prepping right away.
And this is just a fantastic showcase of some of the great minds and great talent at the University of Arizona. Coincides well with a new dawn of a new era with a new president and President Garamella, and a focus to the future, the good things happening, the wonder that's happening at the University of Arizona. We're looking forward to his reign as a president, and I happen to my dean of my college, which is the Eller College of Management, Dean Karthikeyanan, who is a great guy. I happened to be stuck in the elevator with him, just the two of us, and I said, "Hey, do you know the new president?" Because they were both at Purdue. He says, "Yeah, I worked with him at Purdue." And he said, "He's a great guy." He just automatic response was, "What a neat guy our new president is." And when you get a visceral a gut reaction like that of what a great guy he is, I'm sure that we're in for some good positive things at the University of Arizona. And what a great way to celebrate at Homecoming, to have some great things to listen to and performances from some great people on Friday afternoon. Doors open at 1:30, Centennial Hall. Get your tickets online at Ticketmaster. Look up the website to get some more information. And this is going to be exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't wait. I really can't. And I've been watching the rehearsals, so I've gotten to see all the sneak peeks. And I'll tell you, Desiree's talk gives me chills. And I think it's wonderful. And Jehan's talk just takes you to a whole new place. So it's really going to be wonderful.
It's going to be amazing. And it's a wide variety of different kinds of things to listen to as well. So, well, we're just so thankful for you coming on today. I know this week is just a busy, 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 busy week for you in your office, but we appreciate you coming on, telling us a little bit about what's going to be happening with Desert Genius and Homecoming. And we look forward to seeing you down there on Friday afternoon. And And we hope that the community will come and support you. Thank you again, Misha. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it. Take care. Have a great week.
Yeah. Jump In Tucson is produced and directed by Ackerley Advertising. William Ackerley is the executive producer, and the program broadcast from the Bustos Media Studios at KVOI 1030 AM. We'll be back after the break with some more about wonderful things going on at the University of Arizona. Welcome back. Welcome back to Jump In Tucson. We're going to be talking about the weather and climate change and other things. Welcome back to Jump In Tucson. I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and with me in studio this morning is our new CEO of Ackerley Advertising. I say that, I keep saying that, and we keep laughing about it because this is her first week on the job. So welcome, Morgan Murphy.
Thank you.
Morgan's going to be a marketing master's student through the end of May and take the world by storm. But in the meantime, she's working here Jump In Tucson and at Ackerley Advertising. So in this segment, we're going to be talking to Dr. Kaustubh Thirumali. I'm sorry, I got that right the first time and not the second time. But he made it really easy for me. He said, call me Kau, K-A-U. So I'm going to call you Kau. How's it going?
Good.
Welcome to Jump In Tucson. So you are, I called you professor. I'm going to make that promotion. You're on your way to your tenure. So I'm going to call you professor. But you are a professor of climate change, paleoceanography, inorganic geochemistry, all those things. What are those things?
At its basic essence, I'm an earth scientist, and I study the earth through chemistry mainly. Chemistry and through biology, through fossils.
That's great. So let's talk a little bit first about you and where you're from and your journey to make it here to the University of Arizona.
Sure. First of all, thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome. You have a radio voice. You were saying you had a little show in Austin, Texas, and we can tell you have golden tones. You do a great job. So,
thank you. Yeah, it was a show where we interviewed scientists called "They Blinded Me with Science."
I love it.
But yeah, so my name's Kaustubh Thirumali, and I'm from Bangalore, India. It's where I was born. I have an American accent because I did my first grade to fourth grade in Detroit, Michigan. Then we moved back.
Are we supposed to say that Detroit's my favorite foreign country? Are we supposed to say that out loud? Yeah.
Back in the day, this was early 90s. So,
yeah. It's much improved in Detroit now.
Yeah.
Then you went back to India.
Back to India, and then I did my chemical engineering. So I was a chemical engineer during my undergrad, and the idea of doing field work in fertilizer plants was a lower prospect on my book than going out to tropical coral reefs and being on a ship. And that's what kind of attracted me into earth sciences and ocean sciences.
Yeah. So, you know, why are you fascinated with oceans and weather and the future of human-caused weather conditions?
Well, you know, taking a step back, two-thirds of our planet is the ocean. And what happens in the ocean doesn't stay in the ocean. And so the ocean plays a very critical role in mediating climate change and you know, the weather in places as well. And growing up in India, we have our own monsoon over there, just like here in Tucson, but it's a much larger system. And the monsoon is really tied to what the ocean does. And that's really kind of what got me interested in it as I lived through the monsoon year in, year out, and saw these changes associated with the ocean.
And, you know, you know, our lifetimes here on Earth, yours and mine, and our life cycle, and Morgan's, and so forth, is a blip in the it's a blink in the history of the world and the universe and so forth. But right now, the world seems to be going through some dramatic weather occurrences. If we just look at the recent hurricanes in the southeast, but also over the typhoons over in the other side of the world. Pretty severe weather happening, and you know, wildfires and heat, and what Phoenix, I think, had 117 days in a row over 100 degrees, and so we're seeing some interesting weather patterns, melting of the ice sheets and so forth. So this is an important part of what you're studying, is what the future holds and what weather can do.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, given the rise in CO2 and how we're forcing the planet right now, you know, you can look into the past, and that's kind of what we do. Our field of science basically is called paleoclimatologists and paleoceanographers, And we try to ask the Earth that's been around for a much, much, much longer time, as you say, about what answers it can hold in terms of how the system works.
Right. So, you know, the University of Arizona is noted for its tree ring lab. And one of the things that the tree ring lab does is they can look at the back through those. And that's kind of like a documentation of, in some cases, thousands of years of what the climate was like and what things were like. Well, you're doing a similar thing with sea creatures and so forth, and studying the oceans in a similar way of how does over time does the ocean change, which is obviously, as you said, that dramatically affects the what we're seeing in terms of weather on land. So this is a similar kind of an experience, right?
Absolutely right. We go and on ships, and we basically take marine sediment cores from the bottom of the ocean, and they've been accumulating over time. So there are time machines, mm-hmm. and there are plankton shells that are floating in the ocean right now and locking in the temperature and different aspects of the ocean, and they die and they fall to the seafloor, mm-hmm. and then rivers and wind bring in the sediment that cover them up. And then we basically go and take these cores and go back in time to when these guys were living thousands to millions of years ago.
So when a ship goes out and drills a core, and it's 6, 8, 10 feet, 3 yards, a mile long, however long it's going to be, mm-hmm. you can take just kind of like a tree ring, you can go through and you can kind of annotate the years that these are what they are, the epochs and the eras that these animals died and floated to the bottom and then were covered. And with that, you're able to kind of go back as a timeline, a look back in time, right?
That's precisely right. Except the rings in trees, they grow every year. But out in the ocean sediment, you know, 1 centimeter might mean 1 million years or 1,000 right. years, or it could be 1 year if you're offshore the Mississippi, for example.
Right.
So it depends where you're at.
Yeah. This is all oceans are part of this. There's these little plankton and these little microscopic animals are all over, sea creatures, I guess I should call them, are all over all the oceans. And so this happens. You can, since it's 2/3 of the coverage of the globe, this is everywhere. This is happening. Correct.
That's right. But just like the land, where we have different ecosystems, forests and swamps, and there's different creatures that live there, these guys in particular, they also have this diversity. So different ones live in the Arctic oceans, different ones live in the tropical oceans. And we can basically tell by the invasion of things that lived in the Arctic oceans, if they come into the tropics, guess what? We can tell that it was colder at that time. So that's one of the ways in which we look at these fossils and try to understand past ocean change.
So the article that is getting some national acclaim is about the Ice Age, and about how the clues that you get from the Ice Age can predict perhaps the weather patterns in our future. And that's an interesting thing, that we can look back at the Ice Age and the cooling of the planet, perhaps. But what does that mean for the future?
That's exactly right. So initially our ideas, not just mine or my team's, but paleoclimatologists, was that if we understand the Ice Age, then everything in the warming would be opposite to what we find in the Ice Ages. And that has not always been borne out in the way that we thought. But in this case, that's why we went to the Ice Age, is because the signal is so large, the hit to the climate system is large. And we had, you know, ice sheets all the way in New York City, Chicago, you know, giant ice sheets, and that dropped global sea level. So the forcing to the climate system, the kind of the hit to the climate system, is approximating what's going to happen to the world in 2100 or 2200.
Great. We're talking with Dr. Kaustub Thirumalai.
You got it. Yeah.
Thirumalai. Sorry about that. He told me to call him Dr. Kau, K-A-U. So Dr. Kau is here with us. He's a professor in climate change, paleoceanography, and organic geochemistry at the University of Arizona. A fascinating discussion about how the ocean can give us clues about what the world was like in the Ice Age. When was the last Ice Age, by the way? When we call it the Ice Age, when was that?
So the last Ice Age spanned for about 90,000 years, and it kind of terminated about 11,000 years ago. But we studied the last glacial maximum, or when the ice sheets were the maximal strength, because we want to get that large signal, and that was about 21,000 to 19,000 years ago.
Well, that seems like so far ago, but again, just a blip in time, right? Just a geographical blip in time. Seems like a long time for us humans, but for geology, it's just a a nanosecond in geological time, right?
And that's what's amazing, is that a nanosecond ago in geological time, we had such a dramatically different Earth.
Right. That's great. Well, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about your co-research and the Ice Age and how you're finding out about how this affects weather in the future. You're listening to Jump in Tucson, the Wonder Series, highlighting the good things going on at the University of Arizona. We'll be back after the break to talk a little bit more about weather research and the Ice Age and what the weather will look like in the future. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. Thank you, Matt Neely, for the great bump music about weather. We're talking with Dr. Kaustubh Thirumalai, who is the A professor on climate change. He's on his way to tenureship at the University of Arizona. He's a professor in climate change, paleoceanography, and inorganic chemistry at the University of Arizona. So welcome back.
Thank you.
Dr. Cow, I'm going to call you Dr. Cow. That's what I'm going to call you. So you have a fascinating study about the Ice Age and your research into microorganisms and how their demise has actually helped us kind of look into the past, but also predict the future. So could you tell us a little about some of your co-researchers on this project that you worked with?
Yeah, so for this particular paper, I'm actually what is called a co-lead author. So there was another author who was involved. His name is Pedro Denizio. He's a professor at CU Boulder. And we also collaborated with folks at the University of Texas at Austin, at Middlebury College in Vermont, and the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Falmouth, Massachusetts.
How do those collaborations come about? Is it because you guys know each other in the institutional networking that goes on? You just kind of know that you're all interested in the same kind of thing, and so that's kind of how that works out? Or how do those collaborations get come about?
You know, it's a little bit of that, and it's a little bit of, you know, work with your friends and have fun. So right. Some of them are friends, some of them had the right tools in the right places, and the team kind of came together in a sort of a non-pre-planned way,
right.
And we all have the same research interests, and this is a very interdisciplinary project because it involves
right.
models and data. So everyone has their own little bit that they contribute, without which this research would not have happened.
And how did you stumble upon? I use the word stumble because I'm a layman and I don't actually know the great scientific term for this. But how did you stumble upon using the Ice Age as the gauge or the benchmark for this research?
Absolutely. Geologists have been fascinated with the Ice Age for a long time, ever since it was first proposed in about 1830 or so. And one of the reasons is that it is such a large hit to the system in terms of how dramatically the climate changed. And as you mentioned, it's a mere geological blink of an eye ago. So we have a lot of records in the sense that we have a lot of understanding of proxy samples, which we use to understand climate change in ancient times, from this time period as well.
Do we know why an ice age began? Is it the tilt of the axis of the Earth, or what is it that makes that ice age kind of grow down to as far as ice sheets down as far as New York and so forth?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It has to do with the way in which the Earth's orbit changes ever so slightly. And we've been in a cyclical series of ice ages and interglacials in between ice ages or warm periods. And that coincides with the advent of civilization as well, 11,000 years ago. But these cyclical changes have to do with how the Earth's orbit changes the way the sun's incoming solar radiation hits the planet. And a combination of complex processes give rise to these periodic ice ages and then a lack of an ice age like today, where we only have ice in the northern hemisphere and Greenland.
Some would argue that the addition of CO2 into the air and other chemicals that would cause a little bit more heating and the greenhouse effect. Also that some of this, although it could be cyclical, like you talked about ice age and non-ice age, this could also, a lot of research is happening now about what is the human impact on this industrialization and pumping stuff into the air, into the atmosphere, how this is. And if you take that into consideration as you were looking at the future weather patterns that might be come from this?
That's exactly what we're focusing on, because the last ice age, we know very accurately what atmospheric greenhouse gases look like. And we know that from ice cores, where there's literally ancient air trapped in ice cores. And we can measure the concentration of ancient air. And we know that the last ice age had low CO2. And so we, in our research, specifically looked at model predictions of future change where CO2 was increased by 2 times and by 4 times relative to the pre-industrial concentrations.
Wow. We're talking with Dr. Kaustubh Thirumalai, who is a professor of climate change, paleoceanography, and inorganic chemistry at the University of Arizona. Interesting study on the ice age and how it points to more extreme weather patterns in our future. So you use these little microscopic sea life, planktons and other things. How did you come up with that idea? That, you know, first you came up with the idea of using the ice age as the benchmark, but then how did it come about that, hey, we can look at these little microscopic sea life that die and make their way to the bottom of the ocean and covered with sediment as kind of the way to judge this? How did that come about, and how did you come up with that idea?
That's a great question. Thank you. So, like you mentioned, with tree rings, for example, which the University of Arizona was seminal in terms of developing that field, we can go and access these archives on land or go to lake sediments. The system that we were studying is the El Nino Southern Oscillation, El Niños and La Niñas, and that system originates in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, in the equatorial Pacific. So unfortunately, there are no trees or lakes that we can access directly in the Central Pacific. There are some islands, of course, and people have done a lot of research on those, but we want the oceanic signal. And that's why we went to an archive that exists that's ubiquitous, which are these foraminifera, these plankton shells. And two of my teammates sailed on the expedition to collect these sediment cores from the Central Pacific. And so it was a natural idea to target these guys to capture this El Nino Southern Oscillation variability. There's only one issue, is that they're really, really tiny. They're microscopic single-celled guys. So we had to develop a technique that can measure the isotopes in really, really tiny amounts of these calcium carbonate shells that these guys build. And that was how we were able to reconstruct and ask them, hey, what was El Nino and La Nina like during the last ice age?
And these are seashells like you would, you know, collect on the beach and so forth. They're just microscopic seashells, but they're basically the same thing. They're just in very, 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 very small form. And so you're having to look at them with a telescope as opposed to with the naked eye, and you're collecting seashells by the seashore, if not to use a metaphor there.
That's absolutely right. Yeah,
that's great. So, what's the next step in the research? Well, you've published this paper, and you have this out in the scientific world now, and to understand what's going on. What's the next step for you and your team?
So, we're really trying to develop and test our hypothesis, because we put out a prediction that El Nino is going to increase in the future. That the intensity may be the same, but the frequency is definitely going to increase. So more. Sort of extreme events that's going to cause extreme weather all across the planet, including in Arizona. So we want to make sure that these are borne out by other higher resolution models, and we want to get more information from across the Pacific as well, from these ice age critters, and potentially also target a warmer interval even further back in time, so that we can test whether our prediction for the future is accurate from an even deeper geological warm period.
So there's a lot to do and a lot to look for
always.
In the future. You have job security for a while here. You're going to be able to look into the future, and that's great. Well, we want to thank you, Dr. Kaustubh Thirumalai, who has done a great job of having me pronounce his name. I finally got on the last run. Very good. Professor of Climate Change, Paleoceanography, and Inorganic Chemistry at the University of Arizona. Fascinating research, and thank you for your good work on behalf of the University of Arizona. So this is the Wonder Series, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. Coming up tomorrow, General Ted Maxwell hosts Tuesday. Grant Kruger will be here on Wednesday. Tom Moulton on Thursday. I'll be back on Friday with business success stories. If you'd like to be interviewed on Jump in Tucson and share your success story, go to jumpintucson.com and let us know a little bit about you. And who knows, maybe you'll be interviewed live on the air. Jump in Tucson is produced and directed by Ackerley Advertising. William Ackerley is the executive producer. Morgan Murphy is the CEO, and the program broadcast from the Bustos Media Studios. Thanks to Matt Neely for his good work at KVOI 1030 AM Radio. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you enjoyed the show. It's Monday Wonder Series. What a great celebration of the good things going on at the University of Arizona. Morgan, you're a good representation of the good things happening in student outcomes. So thank you for being here. And thank you, and we hope that you will jump in Tucson.